Again, I've got a sermon I could preach again another day. I just want to take what John has already said so powerfully, and I want to underscore it, and I want to connect it to some of what we've seen here in our own community. The problem, let's to say that is the problem of bullying is to power and the venom and the ugliness out of it. It's more than that. There's something really ugly going on that has dogged, and let's face it, these kids in our school aren't bussed in from Mars. They're coming from our homes. They're coming from our community. How can we envision something that's better? And I think that what John was talking about is precisely the turning point, the hinging point, our new identity. We can look at our old identity and we can feel how we feel being who we are as we're trying to scrape our way through life and make a name for ourselves and figure out how we to fit in. And one of the first things we do that is to compare ourselves to the people around us because, well, what else is there? And we start to compare, and we start, one of the most important things is how will we know if we have achieved okayness? Well, we'll be a part of a group that affirms that we are okay, that we are good, and we will enjoy that. Animals have packs or flocks. And being a part of a pack or a flock is an important part of affirming their worth and their existence, that they belong somewhere. I used to take care of chickens. And I don't know, those of you who don't know about chickens, the wonderful world of chickens, don't know that there are endless, there are probably 70 breeds of chickens that you can call for the Murray McMurray catalog and see. And if it were up to Gail, she'd get one of each. There'd be all different ones. I liked flocks. I liked to see how they looked when they were all together. And partridge color was one of my favorite. It's a brown, and the edge of each feather is outlined in an ebony. It looks like lace. And when they're all together, the effect of them all together is even greater than the effect of them individually. It was even more so with a breed that I had called Orpingtons. It's kind of the classic chicken, and it's a big chicken. And I had the buff color, and I had 25 of them. And the buff color is a cream yellow. And when the sun hits them and they're kind of moving along, it looks like a river of melted butter. Plus, you get eggs and occasionally dinner. I could tell the breeds from one from another, and I could name them, but when I saw my flock of 25, I could tell which one was the rooster, and then I had no idea. Some people name their chickens. How would you ever name something that looks like all 24 of the rest of them? I couldn't pick out, and it wasn't personality, because chickens just really don't have individual personality. All right, their brain is a swollen nerve ending at the top of their head. So I couldn't tell a difference as I looked at them, but somehow in every flock, they could tell a difference. Now, one of the things about being a part of a flock or a pack, one of the quickest ways to define your flock that you want to be part of or your pack that you want to be part of is to quickly define who isn't part of it. And if the chickens were actually pretty efficient in that, they would define who wasn't part of the flock. And by comparison or by contrast, they all knew that they were part of the flock. Now, I can't begin to imagine that a chicken would have enough mentality to know how this was happening, but the fact is they would always pick out somebody as the one who is at the bottom of the pecking order. And if you've not kept chickens and don't, pecking order is a real thing. The one at the bottom of the rung gets pecked on. And if it's in a really aggressive chicken, the Orpingtons, the Cochins aren't, but the Arcana, the black ones from the ones that have this jet black greenish feathers from South America. They're very aggressive. Leghorns that are overbred will pick until the feathers are gone and there's bare skin. And then they'll pick until the skin is broken and there's blood. And once blood shows, the chicken will last for about a day before they kill it and devour it. How do you define? We carry with us a lot of our creation brotherhood with the rest of creation. We carry in us a lot of the animal, made worse by our separation from the God whose image we are made in. We like to be a part of a flock or a pack, and one of the quickest ways to define it is to look at others around us and define someone who's not part of it. And then they carry the weight of our inadequacies as we all decide to criticize, to torment, and to lay on them, if you will, the sins of all the rest of us in a way that is not atoning or redemptive, but just destructive. What Jesus calls us to do is not to compare ourselves to one another, because that's where all the trouble begins. At the very beginning of creation, the first recounting of spirituality, we have two brothers. One gets it right, one is admonished. And instead of learning and changing, he compares himself to his brother. He becomes resentful of his brother, and instead of looking to God, comparing himself to God, and accepting God's teaching, and reining in the anger that it is, the sin that was crouching at his door, he decides to take it out on his brother. And if he gets rid of the competition, that makes him the king. It's been going on for forever. Jesus came, he took the sin. It was atoning. It made a change in the heart of God, and it can make it a change in us if we will join in to his death and his resurrection. We never have to look at each other again in terms of comparison. We can look at each other in just a sense of love and wonder at what God is doing in this person's life. Thanksgiving for who they are and what it means to me. Thanksgiving and a realization that God's image resides in them. It can make a difference in terms of the fact that we will never again allow ourselves to be part of bullying. And I don't care whether it's bullying on the basis of race or color. I don't care if the person is a homosexual or identifies themselves as transgender. You can have a difference in discussion and a difference of opinion, but you cannot and must not torment anybody because of who they are or who they aren't. Because you're tormenting the love of Christ in that person. You want to look at something? Look at Jesus Christ. Jesus is still one of us. One of the things that struck me powerfully when I read this passage after I was doing 2 Corinthians, this was supposed to be shorter than the sermon, I'm sorry. I'll be done with it in just a second here. When I studied 2 Corinthians was that Jesus still has his flesh. It is a totally different flesh. It's not that he gave up flesh, it's that his flesh is a redeemed and heavenly resurrection flesh. He still identifies with his creation, with us. That's where we're headed. We're going to be like him. We shouldn't even look at each other in the flesh anymore. We should look at each other and say, that's somebody that God is working on. And what's going to happen is that if, like C.S. Lewis said, if I were to see that person now as they are going to be when Jesus gets done with them, or could, if they believe in him, I would be tempted to worship them because they are going to be so spectacular. So let's get our eyes off of one another, because there's nothing to be learned there unless the example is someone who has also got their eyes on Jesus Christ. How to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ? That's the only thing we should be looking at in one another, because he is going to change who we are. In the end, the last chapter of the Revelation, the last few chapters, we read that Jesus has on his head a name that no one knows except him. And then we read in the last chapter of Revelation that he puts on us his name. Assuming that that's the same name that nobody knows, there's a mystery of what creation is all about and how we really fit into it. When it's all finished, the name that we don't know, the purposes of God, the direction, the intentions of God that are known only to him will be fulfilled in us, put on our head, if we trust in him, if we identify with his death and his resurrection, and we say, Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my boss. Take my life. Let's pray. Lord God, as we go through this week and we listen to one another and the testimonies that everyone brings, I pray that you would cleanse our heart, that you would speak to us and do what you do, which is to convict of sin, to show us what sin has done to us in a way that we haven't wanted to see, we're afraid to look at. But in the power of your grace and in the safety of your love for us, we can look at it and confess it. That you will convict us of righteousness, that there is hope, that there is more than just our sinful self. That you will convict us of accountability, that now is the time to act, now is the time to repent, now is the time to turn to you. And like John said, give us the courage to tell it boldly and outright. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.